Let's just jump right into this thing. This is number 23. How to understand the King James Bible. In lesson 23, we're going through the commandments of Paul, which are given him by the risen Savior. We've been there now. This is part 7. So let's just jump. Let's jump right into Philippians chapter 3, verse 2. These are things that we're told to do. These are commandments as such. Commands. And we know that Paul was told by the Lord what to tell us, what to teach us. So these are actually commandments from the risen Savior. These are not from the Gospels. These are not commandments to the Jews or anybody during the tribulation. It's not Old Testament commandments, nothing to do with the Levitical law, anything like that. And we're not based our salvation on these commandments, but these are things Paul teaches us to do because we're Christians. And it's just commonplace things from Christianity, but we fight it so much today. And I think you'll see, we will be reminded tonight how much we fight these things. Philippians chapter 3, verse 2. Here we go. Short verse. It says, beware, I miss Sue tonight, but who's going to be my head nodder here? Just anybody. If I've got the elder, you got that smile. Yeah, you like to find me do a verse wrong. Beware of dogs. Okay, that's like 20 seconds too long. Once I start, every head's got right off the bat. You know, when I get the out, you've got to. And that's the next verse, verse 3. Anyway, verse 2. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. Okay, so we're told that. We're supposed to beware of these people. And why? Why should we? What's the problem here? Verse 3. For we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit, and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. So apparently these dogs and these evil workers and this concision, whatever that would be, has to do with us doing things in the flesh. So, he says, for we are the circumcision. What he has to be talking about the spiritual circumcision in Colossians chapter 2. Look at Colossians chapter 2, verse 11. Now, I hope that's the last time I call that spiritual circumcision. I hope that's the last time I do that. I was just thinking today, because look at verse 11. Colossians chapter 2, verse 11. In whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Now there's what we need. Have you had this? Do you understand the circumcision of Christ instead of just a spiritual circumcision? It is a spiritual circumcision because it's not a physical thing. Operation made without hands. So it's not a physical operation. So we've been led to call that thing the spiritual circumcision, but it's not. It's the circumcision of Christ. And so we want to make that clear and we tell people. So he's talking about they have received a circumcision, but it was a circumcision of Christ. It wasn't the Old Testament one. And when he says worship in the Spirit, what does anybody think of any special verse in Acts that would be a response to that? That would be Acts 17, where he says, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. If he dwelt in the temples made with hands, then they could worship him physically. But he's not. He's in us. It says, neither is worship with men's hands as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things. So, Paul is saying, listen, we need to beware of these dogs. We need to beware of these evil workers. We need to beware of the circumcision, because they're going to try to get us to do a wrong circumcision if it's a Jewish thing. They're going to try to get people to worship God in the flesh. And then he goes on and he says, and rejoice in Christ Jesus. And when he says rejoice in Christ Jesus, that's the risen Jesus. So we know that. We recognize that now. Then he sums it all up and says, have no confidence in the flesh. Well, why not have confidence in the flesh? Because the flesh is still full of sin. Romans chapter 7. So we really cannot trust our flesh. And a good thing to throw in there would also be Ephesians chapter 4, 17. We cannot trust our mind either. But that would be another sermon if that's why I wanted to park there, which I don't. So Christ took care of sin, but he did not take care of sinning. If he took care of sin, then we have to make the choice of not doing what our flesh would have us to do. Knowing of, and I just went over this today with a 2.5-hour phone call with a couple, and man, I'll tell you, they really have a hard time. The fact that Christ took care of sin and the sinning, is not considered sinning. It's called works. And if it's a bad work, it will burn in the judgment seat. But it's not imputed as sin. It's not all that kind of stuff that takes place. And their first question is, what do you think? Does that mean we can... No, doesn't say that. But if you do, it's not imputed. And instead of getting mad at somebody who teaches that, they ought to get glad at what Christ really did in that salvation that he provides. So we have no confidence in the flesh. So apparently, these people that we're talking about here must trying to get us have some confidence in our flesh. That's what they're going to be trying to do. And these dogs, by the way, look at just for the record here, look at Matthew 7:6. This dog thing is referring to its definition is a reproach or contempt given to a man. So it's a you don't want to be called a dog, no matter how cute the dog is or strong or whatever. You don't want to be associated with a dog. I mean, a dog will go back and lick up his barf. So we don't want to be considered the dog. He says in Matthew 7:6, give not that, LD, there you go, that's pretty good. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye pearls before swine. There's another one. Lest they trample them under the feet and turn again and rend you. And what's happening today is this stuff is being trampled. And nobody's interested in these things anymore. You go to Matthew 15, and it's about that lady. And he said, but he answered, it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. So his reference there would be to Gentiles. Now, we know Paul is talking about, he's either got the Jews he's talking to, he's either talking to Gentiles, or he's talking to the church of God. So it makes sense when he talks about beware of dogs. There's going to be some people out there that are going to try to get you to worship God in the flesh, and there's going to be some people out there that are going to try to get you to... just worship in the flesh, do all these things in the flesh, that kind of a deal. So, concision. What is a concision? What is concision? Definition of concision. Are the Jews or those who adhere to circumcision, which after the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ was no longer valid. It's not valid anymore. So he calls them the concision, close to circumcision, the concision. So you're going to have people out there, they're going to try to tell these people, do things in the flesh, worship in the flesh, please God in the flesh, be circumcised physically, or just follow the law. Follow the law. That would be the Jewish approach, that type of a thing. So he tells us to watch out for dogs. He tells us to watch out for the concision. And then he talks about these evil workers. And this is what we're going to talk about tonight. These evil workers. Look at 2 Corinthians 11. We know the thing about the dogs. You're trying to tell people about the risen Savior. That doesn't go over well anymore. It used to. We understand the hassle about the law. Paul takes care of that by preaching in Galatians and teaching and this type of a thing, Romans especially. But this evil worker thing turned into be quite a long list that I have here. Again, it'd be easier for you to read it, but you don't have notes, so that's just the way it is. He says in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers. No. Second, maybe that's, I don't know, it has to be, okay, here's a second. LD, you were nodding your head up and down, but you lying to me? 2 Corinthians 11, 13, what do I have? 14, it's close, 13. 13, just 13 is all we need here. And 15, there we go, 13 to 15. For such are false apostles. A false apostle is somebody who says he's an apostle, and he's not. Now, Paul is not a false apostle. He's talked with Christ. So that's one of the prerequisites there. We have a missionary friend out there who says he's an apostle today. He's wrong. He's not right. He's not an apostle. And the first thing that the church did, who was the first church in Revelation? Was it Ephesus? One of the things they did was identify people who said they were apostles. Said they were liars. They're not apostles. False apostles. Then he says, deceitful workers transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ, which they're still not, but they're false. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as ministers of righteousness. So these people who think they're apostles got people thinking they really are apostles. And you got these ministers out there that transform themselves and they're ministers of righteousness. We know enough in Romans chapter 10 and Romans chapter 10, 1 through 4, that the righteousness we need is his righteousness, not ours. And we've got people out there preaching to do right, do good, and not as many as we used to, but they're still out there and they're preaching righteousness. Their righteousness, in the flesh righteousness, doing right, not sinning. That's the main emphasis. If you're any kind of a strong Great Commission or a modern Christian, you still think you should stop sinning. Christ walked the law. They'll all admit that he was not any sin in him. So if we follow his footsteps and do what he did, then we will stop sinning. And when we don't stop sinning, we will have to get that confessed, 1 John 1:9 and all that kind of stuff. And I was telling these people today that that's exactly what's going to have to take place in the tribulation, but not today. So we see here that we have people that are evil workers, he calls them. And they're deceitful workers. They consider them, they looked upon by God as false apostles. And here's a long list of what these people will do and who they are, without getting into names as such. And it's important to this because the second part of tonight's sermon, these are the people we're supposed to mark, and we'll talk about that in a minute. Here are some, I'm not going to go through the references, I'm not going to do any of that stuff. You're going to recognize some of them, but here's the list of who these people are and what it is that they're going to do. And why we need to beware of these people. That's the commandment of Paul. Beware of these people. Well, they'll deceive the heart of the simple. They will subvert whole houses. They'll destroy your home. Teach things which they ought not. They will creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts. This is why these people are so dangerous. Overthrow the faith of some. Err concerning the faith. They will withstand our words, Paul says. We know that to be the King James words today. They will withstand. They'll go against that Bible. They will gender strifes. They will remove others from him that called them into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Now, who called them? They will be taken away from that. They will use good words. They will give fair speeches. They will lead because of their personalities. It says having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. They admire this person. That gives that person the advantage right there over you because you trust a guy because just who he is. Everybody's doing that today just about. It says the Bible says that they teach and they preach vain words. Just empty vain words. By the sleight of men, they will toss children or very young Christians or whatever, to and fro with every wind of doctrine, or somebody who's not even a Christian. They go from doctrine to doctrine. And they're all over the place today. By cunning craftiness, it says. We need to beware of these evil workers. They're crafty. They lie in wait to deceive. They're just waiting to get you and your children. They speak and teach great swelling words of vanity. The enticing words of man's wisdom they'll use. They will spoil, which will ruin, through philosophy, vain deceit, rudiments of the world. And see, that's having confidence in the flesh. That's what he's warning us about. Traditions of men, commandments of men, wisdom of words. They'll get you to respond because they're such a good speaker. They're called gainsayers. He says they're going to be murmurers. They will be sensual. They'll be very music-oriented, emotion-oriented. Filthy dreamers, vain talkers, unruly talkers, deceivers, those whose words will eat as doth a canker. The old canker sore thing, it just hurts and eats away. That's what their words will be like. The Bible calls them evil men, seducers. Now remember, good words, fair speeches, there's a lot of good things in this list as well. They're considered vessels of wood and earth, men of corrupt minds. They're reprobate concerning the faith. They're unreasonable. They're wicked. They believe not the truth. They walk disorderly and not after the tradition which is received of Paul. I mean, that's how important Paul is. That these people are considered evil people, they're considered evil workers if they're not following Paul's teachings. They're without faith. They have no hope. They're without Christ. They're aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. They're without God. They forbid others to speak to the Gentiles. They will do what they can when you're having a conversation with somebody. They'll come up with something to interrupt that conversation. Ever had that? They're going to try to get in or something's going to happen. Well, the devil will use them to stop what you're trying to say to somebody today. Paul himself said he was hindered by Satan himself. These evil workers, they will be contrary to all men. You ever talk to somebody who's contrary? I mean, no matter what you say, they will be contrary in return. Oh, you just run out of patience real quickly with those. They're enemies of the cross of Christ. Remember, the cross of Christ includes the resurrection. They please not God. They can't please God, even if they think they are. Their belly is their God. Their glory is their shame. They mind earthly things. Their understanding is darkened. They're alienated from the life of God. They're ignorant. They're blind in their heart. They're past feeling. They have no feeling. They're given over to lasciviousness, which is extreme fleshliness. They work all uncleanness with greediness. Very greedy country we have. They're becoming stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears. There are false brethren unawares brought in who came in privily to spy out our liberty. They're trying to get us back into bondage. Paul said that they seem to be somewhat. That means they think they're something. They're somewhat. High-minded, full of conceit. They trouble you, and they would pervert the gospel of Christ. That's the risen Savior. They are children in understanding, those that by wisdom know not God, by their own wisdom. They require a sign. They seek after wisdom. They're wise men seeking after the flesh. They're servants of sin. They think they can escape the judgment of God. They despise the riches of God's goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering. They're contentious. Now, you know this set of verses. They're lovers of their own selves. They're covetous. They're boasters. They're proud. They're blasphemers. They're disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. They're without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. They have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. They are proud. On reality, they know nothing. They've got all these degrees, but they know nothing. They dote about questions and strifes of words, and when they do that, it brings about envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, and perverse disputings. Envy. They are men of corrupt minds. They're destitute of the truth. They suppose they gain his godliness. They think that they're getting it because of numbers. And they do whatever they can to get the numbers to come in. They obey unrighteousness. They obey indignation and wrath. They are almost a Christian. They're grievous wolves. There are men who speak perverse things to draw away disciples after them from within your own church. They trouble you with words. They subvert your souls. More and more of them will be going out from us, but they never were of us. They're full of wrath. They're full of confusion. There's mockers. There are those who are puffed up and think they're somewhat. They have 10,000 instructors, Paul says, in Christ, but they have no fathers. That means they got somebody teaching, 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 but those people who are teaching, teaching, teaching don't care. Do you have one who cares? A father. Have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet ye have not many fathers. They swerve having turned aside into vain jangling, all this fancy stuff that people are doing today. If they are designed to be teachers of the law, they don't understand what they say or whatever they affirm. Wherever they affirm, they don't even know what they're talking about. They oppose themselves. Many of them are lewd fellows of the baser sort. Many of them are devout and honorable women. They are filled with envy, full of subtlety and all mischief. They're children of the devil. They're enemy of all righteousness. They're confounded and they pervert the right ways of the Lord. That sounds pretty rough. Those are some bad people. And yet we go by what Paul says here. These people are ministers. These people are people that are trying to get you to see some things. They're out after this Paul stuff. And I just went through the whole list. I should go through it again. These are some bad people. Yet many of these people come across as very nice people. Many of these people are family and relatives. Many of these people are former church people. Many of these people are people that you just know. They've been around a long time. And God is very specific that we're to beware of these people. He calls them dogs. He calls them evil workers. And he says to beware of the circumcision. And those are the people that tell Paul that we need to still follow this law. And Paul says, what law? Christ took care of that law. But now, because he's made you so clean on the inside, as I said this morning, two out of three has been cleaned. You got the Spirit of God, your soul's been cleaned, now we still got this flesh over here that's full of sin. And he's going to take care of that at the judgment seat of Christ. Paul's a master builder. So as we try to build upon what we have this foundation, we try to follow Paul's teachings and there's our building. It's just that simple. Just amazing that simple. So that's all because he says to beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, and beware of the concision. Now, number two. That was a quick one. That was quick. But you ought to get online or print that list off and see how many of those places you can find in your scriptures. They're all in Paul. Now, there's a couple. I shouldn't say they're all in Paul. There are a couple in there that are in Jude because we don't go to there for our doctrine, but we can go to there to see what's coming. And we can see some of those things that are in the tribulation of books as far as the dangers, they're already starting to pop up today. People are more and more getting to be like that. So, that's scary stuff. It seems to be getting closer anyway. Now another one. Another commandment. Oh, this is good. I didn't write it down. There it is. Let's go to Philippians chapter 3. This is number 2. Probably all we'll get through tonight is this one right here. these two. We'll see. And we've been over these verses, but I want to emphasize a little bit here something different tonight. Philippians chapter 3, verse 17. Here's another one of his commandments in Philippians. He tells us to follow him. So, brethren, verse 17, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. Parentheses. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. So we have some people here that aren't going to follow Paul. And it's not just following Paul in the duty department, it's following Paul in receiving the God of peace. Because Paul is the one that lays the foundation. Jesus Christ is the foundation, but Paul's the one that's laying it. Now, when you hear that, and you just recognize all these evil workers and things, and I really think that most of us here pretty much believe that whole thing about Paul and salvation is very important. How important do we see that to be? When somebody comes up to us and they say they're Christian and they do good things and they're nice people, yet they're following a different Bible, if they follow any Bible at all, they're at a different church or whatever. It's not the church we're talking about as much, but the doctrine that's being taught in those churches. And if they're not following Paul, or if they really are against Paul, then what Paul says here is they're the enemies of the cross of Christ. That cross includes resurrection. And Paul says, listen, I'm weeping. I've told you, these folks are the enemies of the cross of Christ if they're not going to follow me. And he says, their end is destruction. God is their belly, glory is in their shame, and they mind earthly things. And we have a Christianity today that we see all over the place is just, it's getting more and more earthly. He goes back and he tells us, remember the warning. Beware of the circumcision. Beware of the dogs. Beware of evil workers. Why? Because we are the circumcision, spiritually. Circumcision of Christ. We worship God. We worship Christ. We worship God in the Spirit. We rejoice in Christ and we have no confidence in the flesh, and yet we have been taught over and over and over that we've got so much knowledge and so much ability, so much money, so much skill, so much education that we can actually make these things happen, and that's probably the most dangerous thing that we can do, because it could be very easily that we're not even following Paul. And these people that aren't, Paul is very concerned, weeping, that they're the enemies of the cross of Christ. And he knows who their end is. It's destruction. He knows that God is their belly. Well, what about, I know they're saved. They say they're saved. Well, so? I tried to get this couple to show me how they know they've received another Jesus, whether they've received another Jesus or not. And it was starting to get heated, because they really can't do that except by what they say. Couldn't get them into the Bible as such. So, when Paul tells us to follow him, like he says there, be followers together of me, we understand that. We're doing good. We're learning that sort of a thing. I heard somebody today that said the problem that we have is not a doctrinal problem here. So, in other words, they'll follow Paul's doctrine. But I think what they don't realize they're saying is what Paul teaches about commandments isn't doctrine. Yes, it is. If you're going to follow Paul and you're going to say that we don't have a doctrinal problem there, then that includes Timothy and Titus. That includes Thessalonians. That includes all these commandments that we're going through. So if you don't want to do those kind of things as Paul preaches them, then don't tell us that it's a doctrinal issue. It is a doctrinal issue. It is a doctrinal issue. Paul's doctrine is not just Romans. Paul's teaching, that's doctrine, all the way through to Philemon. And that includes these commandments. So when somebody says we're going to follow Paul, which it says there, brethren, be followers together of me. Now we got this other half here that's really hard for us. And he says, and mark them which walk so, following Paul, as ye have us for an example. So how do we know who to mark in our lives? Now, I realize we're in a deep apostasy. There's going to be hardly anybody to mark. And I'm not being arrogant. I'm not being, we're the only church in the world, this type of a thing. But you know there's not many people that are following Paul. Well, how do you know if somebody's following Paul? Well, you've got a Bible. So you understand the doctrinal stuff, as far as the doctrine. But Paul has these commandments that he's teaching, which is doctrine. And it says right here, mark them which walk. So as ye have us, that's Paul and his teachings here, Timothy and Titus and those guys. So that includes those teachings, those commandments. So those are the things that we're supposed to be looking for. Well, Pastor, I'm sorry, but there's just hardly anybody like that out west. I know that. And Jason's finding that out down in Ohio, in Kenny. And Hugh knows that down in South Carolina. Sam knows that down in further away in South Carolina. Clarence knows that in his own church down there in South Carolina. You guys got three people, you get a church down there in South Carolina. Fred knows that in North Carolina. Rick knows that in Indiana. You're hardly going to find... We know that here. And those people out there that... They get into this stuff. One of the hardest things that we have is to mark somebody who's not following Paul, even in a general fashion, because there goes our friends and our fellowship and the whole thing. But this is a commandment of Paul. He says, be followers together of me and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an ensample. And if they're not doing that walk or trying or learning that walk, their end is destruction. God is their belly. Whose glory is in their shame, and they're looking, they're minding earthly things. And they do. When somebody leaves or quits or throws their Bible away or moves away from all this stuff, they get back into earthly things. They just do. Don't we? Yeah, we do. That's part of our problem. We're just so earthly oriented anymore. Look at... Look at 1 Corinthians chapter... Let's go to Philippians chapter 3. Let's go back to Philippians chapter 3. Verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. So, Paul admits to that. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That's our goal. That should be our goal, is to get over the stuff that's done in the past in all of our lives, and we all got it. I still have a hard time with it because I just know what I've done in the past years, and I'm ashamed of it way back years and years and years ago. Well, get over it and get to preach what needs to be preached, as we've been doing for some years here. Remember, all things are become new. So, this thing about Paul is so simple to understand. And we struggle trying to get people to understand this thing. And then when we finally get somebody to understand it, then comes the really hard part. And that's to walk the way it is Paul teaches us to be the Christian. Then comes the really hard part. And it's to mark those that also walk like Paul, because it's really hard to find. But then comes what I seem to think is impossible to us nowadays, is we're to mark those who don't walk like Paul, or learn from Paul, or willing to learn from Paul. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 16. Wherefore I beseech you, be followers of me. What does that mean? Follow what Paul teaches. It's just that simple. For this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. So what Paul teaches Timothy is supposed to be taught in every church. So when we follow Paul, we say we're Paul followers, we need to be doing what it is Paul tells us to do. We don't have to. All things are lawful, so we don't have to worry about that. But there's reasons why if we do these things that are wrong, the stumbling, the occasion for the flesh, and the edifying, lack of edifying, and the lack of, expediency, the power that it has over us, that type of a thing, we'll deal with that. He gives us the judgment seat of Christ to take care of that. But what a cop-out. We're to mark some... I'll get to that in a minute here. Look at 1 Corinthians 11:1. That's where he says again, be ye followers of me. Even as I also am of Christ. So he's following Christ. Christ has told him what to do, to follow, not only to tell us, but how to live. Is that right? Okay. That's the right verse? Okay. And so the issue is over with us. We understand Paul's a man who's supposed to be leading us daily. And he said there in that verse, Philippians 3, that we're to mark them which so walk. Walk so as ye have us for an example. Now look at Romans 16, 17. Here's what I want to... I so wish we could get a hold of this stuff ourselves. You know, the people I've tried to teach Paul to that really fight the whole thing are reading other things. They're reading other books. I'm not talking about other Bibles. I'm talking about King James guys. They're still reading other books written by people or something. They've got some of these great, again, this personality complex that people have out there or something. Romans 16, 17. Now I beseech you, brethren, and mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. Again, the 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, 6, all the way down to 16. That's the brethren we're supposed to step away from, even family, brethren. So, are you willing to mark somebody as bad? I'm not making a judgment call. We're supposed to make those kind of judgment calls. He's telling us to beware of evil workers, to beware of dogs, to beware of the concision. He's telling us to follow those and look for those that are learning about Paul. And he tells us to find those that are not and mark them and get away from them. My question is, are you willing to say somebody's wrong? Somebody's bad? Based on Paul's teachings. Would you say that they're bad? Would you tell your kids, well, that's a good book, or that's a good video, or that's a good program, or whatever it is, but he's not teaching us Paul, so we're not going to do that. That's bad. Will you do that? Are you willing to admit getting involved with somebody that has an NIV Bible? That's bad. Would you be willing to admit that somebody getting involved in this new music in the churches? That music is bad. We can deal with the music thing because we don't know anything about music, but we don't like that music, so it's bad. That can't be our standard. Do you understand enough about music to know that that is bad music? And the people that are playing that music, that is bad. That tells me that that radio station is bad. It's not good. It's that we have to be aware of that radio station because, sure, they got four pieces that are good, but they got six pieces that are bad. And your kids are going to hear you, and you know your kids are going to come in right when that bad one hits. And they're going to go out when the good one comes back on. You know that. So, you know, and you can tell your kids, well, I know that one's bad, but that's okay. I'm an adult. I can handle all this stuff. No, Paul tells us, is it the music that really is bad there? Well, really, it's the radio station. You can't trust them. So, are you saying that we need to turn off our radio and our televisions and da-da-da-da? Well, if they're bad and you can't control that thing, I'm looking for remote control stuff so we can... turn that thing off if we need to when the time comes. Maybe we should just consider that state. Well, you know, if we care to this to a certain extent, we're going to turn everything off. We're not going to go anywhere. Not going to do anything. Oh, no, we can do stuff. Let's preach in Paul. Well, where's that at? It's right here. How about some of your friends? Are they Paul friends? Well, no, they're not, but I'm trying to help them. Okay, are you seriously trying to help them? Are you just trying to buddy-buddy with them, or are you trying to get... Do you talk about it? Of course there has to be a witness. Of course that has to take place. But remember, Paul's witness is that you are doing this. It isn't that you just know what to say, that they see that Paul's teachings have entered into you, 1 Thessalonians 1:9, that his teaching... It's not like Jack Van Impe, didn't it? You say something, you spit the verse out, and then you keep talking. But that's what it is. We should be able to... They should be able to see in us, not this modern Christian, but what it is that Paul is teaching us in these commandments, and then you have something to say. And my question is, again, are we willing to mark them if it gets to be a problem? Because see, if it's not a problem, he doesn't tell us to mark them. He said back there, he said, mark them which cause divisions and offenses, contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned. You're going to be around some people who are not causing any trouble, not causing any divisions or offenses, and you want to teach them this stuff.
that's okay.
Is that, wouldn't that how you see that? He's telling you, mark those that cause trouble. And if they're going to cause trouble, mark them and get away from them. And don't go there. But if they're not causing divisions and offenses, then what's your job? Show them and tell them. And if they fight that thing, or if they try to get your kids aside, try to teach you something a little different, or just maybe their day-to-day walk is such that it will teach your children by example that what they're doing seems fun, seems enjoyable. They're having a good time. They're not dressed right. They're not talking right. They kind of laugh about this stuff here. You know what that is? They're actually causing problems for you because they're going against what you've taught your children. They're going against what even you believe. They're even going against somebody else that you've talked to, and you've got them there, and you're trying to get them to see this, and you know this. Somebody else comes along. They don't just allow you that. They somehow get in there, and they start to worm on this stuff a little bit. You ever seen that? They kind of mock some of the stuff a little bit. Some little comments. Pachoing, that's another one. Pachoing, you should realize, uh-oh, they're not coming over if they're going to keep talking to my kids or to my wife this way or to my husband or whatever. We're to avoid. We're to withdraw. Because now they're causing division. So do you mark them? What's the list? Well, the list is depart yourself from the things that we're not supposed to be doing. We're supposed to despise what's going on. We're supposed to destroy the magnificence. Somebody comes over, dressed wrong, talks wrong, lives wrong, whatever they're doing, and sometimes even just their presence causes offense for you, what you're trying to teach your children. Then we're to destroy that magnificence that they have. Well, we just went to such and place, and we did this, and we did that, and we tipped a few, and we don't have to do that, of course, and we bought this kind of, isn't this a pretty dress? Well, yeah, but there's not enough there to blow my nose in, and all this kind of stuff, or the guys wearing what they wear nowadays, or, you know, we got a problem there. We're to destroy the magnificence of this world. Then we have prayer, tears, grace, truth, mercy, long-suffering, patience. Of course we have all that. But when it gets to be a problem, we're to rebuke, we're to reprove. And if that doesn't work, this is where he says, I have to read it to you, avoid, withdraw from such, not strive, neither give heed, purge, reject, be not partakers, mark, note them, have no company, not to company with, put away from among yourselves, cast off, have no fellowship. That's when you mark them. Are you willing to mark them? That's my question. I'm getting more and more that way lately because I'm seeing what they're doing to people who think that they're doing fine as Christians. And we've got some men on this list now that are asking questions and talking about some things, and that's good. But what some of these men are going to have to do here pretty soon is they're going to have to mark somebody pretty soon because it's starting to cause trouble within their family. And they need to mark that church. They need to mark that pastor. They need to mark that Sunday school teacher. They need to mark that guy that used to be their best friend. Now that you're understanding Paul's teachings and what it means to follow Paul, then you need to mark that guy. If they're going to cause a problem, which some of them are starting to do, you've got to mark them. That's what he says. And then if that doesn't work, ship them off to the world, and then you never see them again anyway. Now, he says back there, and let's go back to that thing in Philippians, chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, we're going back to where he says to mark them, which so walk, this is the good marking. You find those that are looking into Paul, maybe you can look to them. But and he's talking about their walk, not just their knowledge, their walk. Who's on there tonight, Sam? Yeah. Oh, okay. Okay, good. So, that's a tough thing to do these markings. Now, we look here at where it says they're the enemies of the cross again. So, these people are not trying to learn or walk in the walk, but they have to be causing division and offenses. See, here's an example. I know somebody that in the last couple of weeks, the last week or so ago, has been trying to present this Paul stuff to somebody, and found out later that one of the guys went over there and started talking to a couple of the wives of this guy and tried to get them to see some things that isn't Paul. Try to teach them away from that thing. And they cornered, the men cornered the guy a little late, and the guy apologized, "I'll never do it again," kind of a thing, and that's fine. But see, if he was going to stick with that, you mark him and you get rid of him. But he didn't stick with that. He, again, like I said, he apologized, didn't mean to come across that way, and the men dealt with it, and they're still part of that group. But if he's going to be an if he's going to cause trouble, he's got to go. Or he could stir some things up where? Within the home. That kind of a thing. So we need to be ready to mark him when the time comes. Not with a back scratcher, of course, but it's the only thing I have. Now we see that what Paul says, they're actually enemies of the cross of Christ. Because we know that the cross includes the resurrection. And you get these Baptists, especially the Baptists, who are so big on the work of the cross. You know, you got to cling to the old rugged cross because that cross is where everything took place, and that's where it'll take place every day of your life, and you got to come back and all this kind of stuff. And that's just baloney. And he says their end is destruction. God is their belly. And he says they're earthy Christians. Well, when you hear somebody say earthy Christian, do you think of any place special scripture? I think right off the bat of Colossians chapter 3. Look at Colossians chapter 3. We could all easily be an earthy Christian. And the more earthy we get, the more fleshy we're going to get. And wouldn't that be something if a Christian who's trying to follow Paul marks you as, "I'm not a good person to be around for your kids"? By the way, I've been marked that. Not just kids to be around, but other people as well. I've been marked as somebody to stay away from. "Keep your kids away from me. I'm going to be hard for your children." You know, so whatever. But what if you actually are slipping back into the earthiness of an earthy, fleshy Christian? And somebody marks you. "Wait a minute. I'm trying to follow Paul." So, you know. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. "If ye then be risen with Christ," which you say you are. See, that's risen with Christ. You're off the cross. You're beyond the cross. You're now learning the teachings of the risen Christ through Paul. Okay, so if that's the case, seek those things which are above. For Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead. Your life is hid with Christ in God. And we're having things of this earth taken away from us. We're having everything just yanked away. And in some respects, it's good for us. Because it's going to push us away from our God, which is uncertain riches. Scary. Shouldn't be. But that shows how much we trust in these things. Philippians. "For our conversation is in heaven." Philippians chapter 3. I'll let you go there. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. Philippians 3, verse 20, it says, "For our conversation is in heaven." That's not just our talk, that's our life. "From whence also we look for the Savior." Are we looking for the Savior? And it says, "the Lord Jesus Christ," because He's already risen. And He changed our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body. And that's a marvelous thing. We're looking forward to that. Should be. Or are we a worldly, earthy Christian who's letting these authors and preachers and pastors teach us things that we ought not, and we're afraid to mark those that are causing us problems with Paul's teachings? Again, I'm not saying that everybody is not Paul should be marked. You wouldn't have anybody to talk to. You wouldn't be able to go to work. You can't do that. But if they're causing an offense, or if they're causing division, they're causing difficulty within your home or in your personal private life, or if it's about to take place, mark them and get away from them. Who are these people? Come on, it's not that hard. They're not preaching Paul. An NIV Bible person is a dangerous person. Really. They seem to be pretty nice people. Oh, I know they do. But they could probably get your kid to go NIV. I know an NIV Marine who really caused my son a lot of problems. Did he harass him? No. Not at all. And it all happened during the Ruckman flap. And it was very, very hard. And here's this NIV guy who's a nice guy. No mouthiness. No, you know what I'm saying? And he looked to him thinking, and he looks over here and thinks, sees all that taking place and the offensiveness and all that stuff. And he sees this nice guy, NIV. Now, he's not going NIV, but that NIV guy had a better testimony than the King James guys as far as the walk goes. So, if he ever goes NIV, I'll just drive over to Yakima and shoot it. He won't do that. I don't believe that'll happen. It could still happen, though. It could still happen. So, could that happen to your children? Sure. What if your wife gets tired of the King James and gets into the NIV? She's just a little happier because all of her friends at coffee at Starbucks are drinking their little $5 coffees and hyping up with all the sugar and stuff. And they're all NIVers and ASVers and RSVers, and some of them are Message Bible people. And they're more fun to be around than your King James ladies who can do nothing but yip, sorry. Well, okay, yip and yap and yak until, well, what's wrong with somebody else in the church? And your kids can see that, and before you know it, you need to mark these people. Can you mark somebody like that? I'm trying to talk to somebody about the Lord's Supper and things, and I know that they read Charles Stanley, and they read Josh McDowell, and they told me all the books that they're reading. I'm going, oh man, this is talk about confusion here. There's nobody teaching Paul and this kind of stuff. And he's not causing any division, so I don't mark him and stay away from him. But let's say he comes in here and starts kind of talking around here. Finds some of those that are kind of weak in the faith and kind of new to this thing and gets them to go that way. It can happen on our list that we have, our men's list. I've got some guys on that men's list who are brand new into this thing. I've got some guys on there that are ready to chunk down a big chunk of steak. And the new people can just gag and die. Or somebody comes in there and starts preaching on Calvinism. Oh, here we go on this thing. And before you know it, they've gone over to Calvinism. We've lost some people on Pal Talk. Because you get on the other rooms that are Paul-oriented, and they go that way because that guy doesn't tell them that your wife can't work. So they're much happier to go to that guy because they preach grace and then grace and then more grace and grace upon grace. So it happens. It happens very easily. You need to mark them. And I try to mark the guys on the Pal Talk thing and say, listen, when you get into this Pal Talk stuff, stay away from that supposed Christian, I call it Christian pornography. It'll kill you if you're not strong enough to deal with it. Okay, now, let's look to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's finish this up tonight. I think you see my point. He warned us against, he tells us to beware of evil workers, of dogs. Beware of the concision. People that think you need to follow the law. People that are out there with fair words and good speeches, or fair speeches and good words, words of vanity, wrong division, etc., and they're just taking people away like crazy. In fact, I read today in an article that's out there, which we'll talk about one of these days, and this guy mentioned that the evangelical movement is dead, is dying, and the churches will be gone. And anybody see that come across? It's really well written, except his solution, again, is bunk, but he made the observation that there's only three churches left in the future. Right now, what's going on? You've got these mega churches that are growing like crazy. And you've got the dying church. And you've got the home church. That's where we're headed. The little churches are dying. And these mega churches are going to grow like crazy. And the home church is going to be where the struggle is at. And I believe that. I really believe that to be true. But yet, what he tells to teach in the home church is as wrong as the megachurch teachings. It's really too bad they go into that thing. So, you just about have to be marking anybody anymore if they cause trouble in your homes. Now, we're looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and here's my final thing. We're finding out that the whole issue here is between the real Christ, the risen Savior, or the Antichrist. And somebody mentioned to me today, we were talking, they said, the issue about the Bible is over with. I mean, the devil's done his job. Nobody cares about the Bible, any Bible, whatever Bible, anymore. Those that have a King James Bible, the devil's been able to confuse those and get them into wrongly dividing and think they're doing right, and they're really still teaching wrong things, going into Hebrews and 1st, 2nd Peter and Gospels and this type of thing. So the devil's not even worried about King James guys anymore. So really, he's done his job. America's falling apart. The world's falling apart. Even I heard you say tonight China doesn't even have any money. Well, nobody has any money. They don't want to have any money. They want to do a new money system. So whether they got money or not, they don't care. So they're using this as an opportunity to bring the world together. We know all that kind of stuff. So near as I can say, the devil's done his job. Now he's just getting ready to come. And there's people are just waiting for him to get here. That's how far along I think we've come. And yet there are still people who are preaching Paul, teaching Paul, and there are people out there, not just us in this little church here. They're still there. So what we're hearing tonight is, here are these evil workers, here are these dogs, here are these those of the concision, here's their list of what they do and all that stuff. And he tells us to mark them. And my question is why is it so hard for us to mark them? When we look at verses like this, 1 Corinthians 12:31, he talks about showing us unto us a more excellent way. Looking to Paul is a more excellent way. So why is it so hard for us to mark somebody who's not going to follow Paul and is actually going to cause you and your family and your person trouble? Why is it so hard to mark them? Why would you bring them into your home? Why would you get attached to them? Why would they become your best friends? Why would you pal around with them if they're going to cause trouble for you or your kids? When what Paul teaches is a more excellent way. Why is it so hard? Look at Acts 18. Look at Acts 18, verse 26. And I know how people sit there and the sermon's on the online or whatever, if they listen to them or somebody sitting here or whatever. You can probably answer that. Because reality is such. No, reality is not such. Here's a state of New Hampshire willing to take on the federal government and say, listen, you can't tell us what to do. And if you keep doing this, we got some other states, we're going to try to get started up, and we're going to take your power away from you. That's pretty serious stuff. That's pretty exciting, actually. But they didn't pass it. How many of those politicians are going to sit there and vote, yes, let's go after the feds? You know, I mean, we know what's going on there, but still, some of them tried it. Just didn't quite all get it done. What is so hard about us marking somebody that's going to hurt us? If we've heard the description of what they're going to do to hurt us, fair speeches, good words, all that list there, when it's a more excellent way. Acts 18:26, Apollos there. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. Is that his name, Apollos? Okay. So when we hear from Paul's teachings, it's the way of God more perfectly. It's a more excellent way. We look at Romans 2:16. You're probably marked, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. That's Paul's teachings. So our judgment seat, which is going to give us eternal rewards, marking the right people is going to come across good in this judgment seat. Why is it so hard when our eternity reward basis is based on that? Look at Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8. Ephesians 3, verse 8. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Not Jesus, but Christ. So yes, we want to tell people, we want to show people this Paul thing. I call it the Paul thing, but it's just what else to call it, you know, the Greater Commission. And get them to see this thing. Why? Well, these are the reasons why. It's a more excellent way. It's the way of God more perfectly. My works will be judged by Paul's dues and commandments. And it's Paul will teach us the unsearchable riches of Christ. Wow. You know why we don't want to mark that thing? Because we're still earthy. We're still following that flesh. We're still choosing to serve the flesh. Well, so did Paul. That's right. But let's try to get past that as Paul did. Look at 1 Thessalonians 4:1. Don't you want to teach your children through your family involvement the way of God more perfectly when it's available? Or are you going to stick with the Great Commission crowd and the circle that they're around NIV or Charles Stanley or, that's all I can think of tonight, Franklin Graham, Robert Schuller's son who was fired from Robert Schuller's glass cathedral. Maybe he's got some good teachings going on. Maybe the son is figuring some things out. Haven't heard anything about that, but they fired him. What about Chuck Swindoll and Dobson and these guys? Those guys are not good to be following. They're not good. Yeah, but they got a couple good things. Yeah, but if you follow them, they're going to cause offense and division in your family. And if they're not, deal with it. But if they are, he says in 1 Thessalonians 4:1, furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God. Don't you want what your kids learn as to how to please God? You learn that from Paul. And you learn that by marking those people or those books or those TVs or those videos or those games or whatever that will not teach that. Or those friends and family that you have come over, the people you go out with, the places we go. If they're going to cause division and offense, well, maybe they're not causing division and offense. No, but maybe what that seed they planted will become a problem in a couple of years. I think one of the things that we say to ourselves is, see, they're not causing any damage right now. No, but our kids have been planted seeds by all sorts of people. You know that. You can't lock them in your basement. But they've had seeds planted in there. And you hang around the ones that aren't following Paul, or at least learning to follow Paul or whatever, they're going to water those other seeds. And those other seeds can grow. And your sweet little girl or good little boy or whatever, today can go down a pretty sour path because we didn't mark somebody 4 years ago or 6 years ago. Something to consider. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. You probably got that verse marked by now. 1 Corinthians 4, 16 and 17 tells us to be followers of me. That's Paul. And then he talks about there's that verse again. He goes, went to Timothy and his ways should be taught in every church. Paul's ways, not just his words, but his ways are to be taught in every church. And then lastly, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Where it says, For they themselves, verse 9, show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you. How ye turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God. Is that not what you want? Would you rather go back to the Great Commission and serve a Jesus that's teaching Jewish law? Would you rather go back to the Great Commission? Would you rather have somebody in your family that's Great Commission oriented? And of course, we don't do the poisonous snakes and the signs and the miracles and speaking in tongues and all that stuff. Well, why not? That's what it says. So I guess I'd rather be friends with somebody who's not only mixed up and confused, but they're going to teach my family and my girls and my boys and me, if I'm not strong enough, or somebody somewhere, something wrong. Do we not have the guts anymore to mark somebody that needs to be marked? And if I'm bad for your kids, according to Paul, and I'm causing offense and causing trouble within your home, then mark me. But show me with some scriptures why I'm so dangerous to your family. Or this teaching is wrong. Let's whip open the Bible and I'll show you some stuff. And see, this one couple I talked to today is bad for this one man who's new with us and his daughter. This one couple, as much as they mean well, that lady is a horrendously poor example of a Christian woman. And if this guy's daughter picks up on that, because her flesh is his having a party, then he'll let that couple destroy his daughter. And I know he knows better than that because he's already said. He said to me today, they got to go, don't they? I said, yeah, they got, well, this is your call, but if you want to ask me, you better get them out of there. They're King James users, but they still, that's a long story. And he'll pick up on that anyway. And that's what we need to do. But it'll make my daughter unhappy. Not if you can teach it and present it and live it within your home. Tough stuff. But we need to mark people who are causing offense and division according to Paul's teachings. And then stay away from them. And find those that are looking to Paul and aren't offensive about it, or divisions about it, or going to fight you about it, or just not get it. That's what Paul says. Follow Paul. Remember I said Paul is one of those... How did Paul get away with all this joy and peace? Not yet. And what did he say? I get away from these people. If they don't want to hear what I have to say, he gets rid of them. He goes away. I think that has a lot to do with Paul being so joyful and so at peace with things. He's not going to spend 5 years trying to get somebody to see this stuff. I've learned that with Paul. He'll try. He'll have tears. He'll pray. He'll give them faith. He'll give them grace. He'll give them mercy. But when the time comes, he'll rebuke them. He'll reprove them. And if they're going to still fight it, he'll get away from them. And if they're causing troubles to him, he gets them out of the world. He gets them back to the world. Paul knows how to do that.